There it is, the mothership.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
What if I told you I'd take you to a place you'd never been and do something to you that's never been done?
Welcome aboard the Mothership Radio Show. My name is Kevin Gassman, your host for the next hour, to talk a little strange and unusual. And nothing more strange and unusual than the LA Alien Con. And I checked it out last weekend, got a few sound bites from a few people. So we'll be playing some of those throughout the show. And that includes Travis Walton from Fire in the Sky, also the narrator for Ancient Aliens, and a couple other familiar voices to the program, Ryan Sprague and Alejandro Rojas from OpenMinds.tv. All will be played throughout the show. And it was interesting because being over there at the Alien Con, walking around with my microphone, trying to talk to people, and, you know, mostly everyone was really receptive. It was a nice event, and I'll give you my thoughts on that here in a few. But for the most part, you know, when I talked to Alejandro, you know, he had mentioned something that I hear all the time where, you know, a lot of people are getting involved in this topic, if you will. A lot of people are doing podcasts on aliens and UFOs and all that stuff. And yeah, you know, I'm part of that as well. I've been doing this for, I don't know, 3.5 years now, since October of 2015. Started off as a little hour on my radio program Monday through Friday in Phoenix, Arizona, from 3 to 6 p.m. I think it was my 5 o'clock hour on Thursdays. We did Aliens with Gas, and then it turned into the Mothership Radio Show. So I've been doing this for a long time, you know, and talking to people and hearing their experiences. And, you know, I'm as a believer as I think the average person, if you will. I mean, you know, show me some evidence that it doesn't exist, and then I might believe you, depending on what kind of evidence that is, I guess. But until then, I mean, why not keep an open mind that this is out there and that the possibilities are endless for the most part, because we just don't know. And tuning them out, well, I mean, I guess that's helpful to a certain degree if it's for you, but it's really not helpful for everyone, I believe. I think everyone should be really in the know of what's going on. And people are kind of quick to dismiss that. And we'll hear a little bit of that with my interview with Ryan Sprague. But over the weekend, I was at a little house party and I was talking to a couple, and she was mentioning her trip to Sedona, and she loved it a lot. And she had mentioned how mystical it was, the vortexes. And then she said, also the aliens, she said aliens. And she was from Southeast Asia, so she had a really thick accent, but she was really excited about aliens. And her husband was right there, and he's like, I don't buy into that, you know, this, you know, that whole alien stuff. And I was just kind of listening to her, and she got really excited, and we want to go to Roswell and this and that. And I didn't tell her what I did, so she had no clue that I was a host of a radio show about aliens. And I told her that, and her eyes lit up, perked up. Oh, you talk aliens? You know, someone she can relate with, someone that can, you know, listen to her and go, all right, yeah, I buy what you're saying. You know, you believe it, I believe it. That's cool. And her husband all of a sudden said, well, you know, there was this one time when I was driving up to Vegas and I saw lights in the sky go zooming past and then zigzag back, and then it was gone. So it's funny how maybe another person confirms a belief and then they jump in and say, well, you know, I might not buy into it, but I did see this. They'll come out and say it because it's more comfortable, because they're not alone in saying what they feel. And that's important. And I told them that zigzagging light in Vegas area, that's not the first time I've heard of that testimony. So there's a lot of that going on in that area, whether it's, you know, military or Area 51 stuff. But there have been reports of lights zigzagging across the sky at very high rates of speed above the city of Vegas, or maybe just the mountains in that area. So I just find that fascinating, you know, waiting for someone else to kind of jump in the conversation to confirm your belief. It opens up a lot of other people's minds and mouths. So don't be afraid to bring it up. But you don't have to be the guy that always walks around and says, hey, I believe in aliens, do you? I mean, you got to wait for it to kind of come up in a subject. That's something I think we have to kind of have a little tact with if you're going to try to explain something. Hey, did you hear, you know, the military is actually investigating UFOs? And kind of maybe that's a starter and see what happens. And then they don't say anything and they don't like it. Well, you don't have to push them. Something you can think about when you're out and about in public and, you know, you want to share your thoughts with someone and see if they're on the same page as you, I guess that's what it's all about. But I think you guys are all on the same page here on the Mothership Radio Show. That's why you guys tune in every Sunday night at 9 o'clock here on KWSS 93.9 FM and online at kwss.org. So we're going to come back. Again, I have interviews with Travis Walton from Fire in the Sky, And we also going to hear from an artist who did some of the artwork for him. And we got Ryan Sprague from Somewhere in the Skies podcast. We'll also hear from Alejandro Rojas when we come back from openminds.tv. And I had a few minutes to talk with the narrator of Ancient Aliens.
Ancient megalithic stones cut with astonishing precision.
So you'll, I guess you'll hear what I asked him. I had to ask him one specific question. And we'll get to that in a little bit. And other things happening in the world of the strange and unusual. But I want to play some music. So this band, they are from Seattle. I love them. They come out in rainbow Jawa outfits. You know, Star Wars Jawas, you know, the little brown, you know, cloaks kind of thing that they wear. Well, they're rainbow. They come out with glowing sunglasses and that are lit up. Pretty fun visual on stage. The Hoot Hoots are their name. This tune is called Home, and it's about the big blue sphere. It's right here on the Strange and Unusual, the Mothership Radio Show. Love that song. That's the Hoot Hoots from Seattle, Washington, and Home is the tune. I know it's going to get stuck in your head, but that's okay. Don't blame me. That's all I got to say. The Mothership Radio Show continues on. I was over at the Alien Con at the Los Angeles Convention Center last week, ran into a bunch of people, got my mic in front of their face, asked them some questions about the current state of affairs in the UFO world, and the first person I ran into is Alejandro Rojas from openminds.tv. And Alejandro has been very supportive of the show, and he's been there since the beginning of starting up this show. So I want to thank him for being very open-minded for us as well to share his thoughts. And that's where I got going with him. So a few minutes with Alejandro Rojas from the Los Angeles Convention Center's 2019 Alien Con, talking about the state of affairs of the UFO community.
I think it is an amazing year. Just like what you said, it's kind of surreal being up on stage. Like just now I was in a panel about disclosure, and we had this same panel at the last event, but things have changed so much that we were talking about, you know, this is what things might look like or what we might begin to see. Now we get up there and say, this is what's currently happening. You know, this sort of information is rolling out. We have Navy talking about taking UFO seriously. We have the president talking about being briefed by the Navy. So it's kind of a real-time, exciting time. Someone asked, you know, what should we take away from this? And, you know, the answer was keep an open mind, but tell all your buddies to pay attention because stuff is coming out and they're going to see this. And just wait, because that's happening right now. Your buddy's going to come to you in the next couple of days and say, dude, on CNN, I just saw this dude talking about UFOs, or I just saw a senator talking about UFOs. That's happening right now, so it's exciting.
What are you looking at as far as new stuff coming out, or is this enough for people to ingest?
There's a lot of new stuff coming out, and it's going to keep coming out. Luckily, I have some behind-the-scenes look at some of this, and I keep hearing about some of the new stuff that 'll be coming forward, not all of it, or being told that there's new stuff. So over the next few years, and it'll probably be never-ending from here out, we're going to hear more and more and more as more people get involved and as we are able to hear from people who haven't come forward before that are insiders. So just, I would say, keep close attention. If you saw Unidentified last night, they revealed some amazing stuff. More cases where jet fighter pilots are chasing UFOs. And then they also revealed, you know, some of the fighter pilots, many of them didn't want anything to do with coming out, but some of them did, at least one in particular, go to Washington and talk to Congress. So we'll see a lot more of that. So, yeah, keep paying attention. It's just going to keep rolling.
Well, that's what I was looking at as far as, you know, it's okay for the pilots to report these sightings right now. So, yes, if you're right, if there's all these pilots who haven't said anything come out of the closet and say, well, speaking of seeing something flying, I was too afraid to say it back then, but here I am now saying it. So we might see an influx of a bunch of sightings. Maybe it might not be on the back page of the paper anymore. It might not be buried into the quirky, funny story on the news anymore. As long as it becomes more repetitious in our dialogue, it'll be taken more seriously down the road.
Exactly. You know, and you did mention that, you know, this was taken seriously in the 50s and they looked into it. And, you know, one of the things that I've tried to inform the public is that the issue was not resolved back then, and that's why we're seeing it crop up again. The Air Force kind of did this thing where they said, don't pay attention to it, it's not a big deal, but they kept paying attention to it. We've been told for the last few decades since 1969, after they closed their official program, that they're not paying attention to it, even though a lot of the researchers here and the journalists have found, yes, they are taking it seriously. We've got documentation to show that. And, you know, now finally we've got them coming forward with that. You know, someone made a point the other day that if you were just before December 2017, when this New York Times article came out, if you were to ask the Defense Department, are you investigating UFOs, they would have said no. But now that this gentleman, Lou Elizondo, has come out, you know, it's this whole kind of avalanche of information coming out. So the issue's never been resolved, no matter how much they tried to kind of say it was. But during those periods of times, like you said, pilots didn't feel comfortable coming forward. Now with these new rules, they are at least Navy pilots feeling more comfortable. So you're right, we're just going to keep hearing more and more from these guys, and it's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's a great time right now. So,
you know, keep paying attention, keep watching Unidentified, keep watching the news, keep checking out sites like openminds.tv or listening to you, because there's more information that's going to be coming out on a regular basis, and it's a really exciting time to pay attention to all this.
All right, love it, man. Always nice catching up with Alejandro Rojas of openminds.tv. So right when we were done, he introduced me to this next guest that I had a few minutes with. Douglas Smythe is his name, from Shave Phoenix. And he has a conspiracy theory about Gillette razors.
It's true. Before 1970, or between 70 and 71, razor burn, razor bumps, and ingrown hairs did not exist. And now it's everywhere. In fact, you see products being sold to take care of this problem that they actually created. So they create the problem and solution, so typical of these big corporations. But before that, Gillette was selling double-edged blades. And the reason why they moved to cartridge razors wasn't for a better shave or a closer shave. It's because they were running out of patents for their double-edged blades. So overnight, they went from multi-million dollar to multi-billion dollar with this new cartridge multi-blade design. And that's it. That's all it had to do with. Nothing about a closer shave.
So the multi-blades is what brought out the bad skin.
Yes. Whenever I speak anywhere, I always ask everybody in the audience how many people think they have sensitive skin. And 9 out of 10 hands go up. And the thing is, we've been giving it to ourselves by using inferior products for such a long time. But when you move back to double-edged shaving or safety razor shaving or even straight razor shaving, you don't experience any of those problems.
Interesting, yeah. But no one knows how to do that anymore.
Oh, I'm trying to educate folks as I am right now. But I mean, another thing to consider is cartridge razors typically cost, what, $4 for $25 for double-edged blades. It's another dirty secret they don't want you to know. Double-edged blades, you can get 100 of those for $9 to $15. So and no plastic is involved. And the razors themselves are heirloom pieces you can pass down to generations and generations. So it's better for your face, better for your wallet, and better for the planet at the end of the day.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff once you really dig into it.
And you're here at the Alien Con 2019 in Los Angeles Convention Center, and so how is this related to aliens?
I've never seen an alien with a beard.
Good answer. I love it, man. Very animated character, Douglas Smythe. All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to have more words to play because I have my interview with Travis Walton on the way right here on the Mothership Radio Show. But before we do that, how about some tunes? Because that's what we like to do here on the program, highlighting some music throughout the years that I've collected doing this show. And we've been doing this for a little while now, so I got a lot of songs. And if anybody out there has other music that you think will be cool to play on the Mothership Radio Show, strange and unusual songs, you know, songs written about aliens, UFOs, Bigfoot, and ghosts, I like to play all that kind of stuff. So hit me up at themothershipradioshow@gmail.com and let me know what kind of tunes you want to hear on this program. I want to play one of my favorite songs that I've kind of found throughout the years of collecting here from the Kinks. It's Supersonic Rocket Ship, right here on the Strange and Unusual, the Mothership Radio Show. The Mothership Radio Show continues. Got some interviews from the Alien Con out in the Los Angeles Convention Center last weekend. And as I'm walking around the whole complex, you know, everyone's got their booths, everyone's signing books and selling their artwork, and it's a pretty cool, fun scene to be around. Everyone's dressed up in their costumes, and, you know, R2-D2 was there. There were stormtroopers walking around.
There's one, set for stun.
So that's kind of catching on at these conventions. Whether that kind of takes a little bit of the seriousness away from it or what, I don't know how to really look upon that. Maybe it's easier for people to accept this type of reality, I guess you can say, if that's how they want to accept it, by dressing up and being a part of that. That's, you know, their celebration of it, if you will, as opposed to being kind of stone cold serious about that. Because there are people out there that are very serious about this subject, and I don't blame them to a certain degree. I don't, you know, my perspective is from the, you know, I'm just curious. I want to know what the hell's going on, and I have a radio show, and I want to ask questions, and I want answers. So that's all I want to do, is use this show is just to kind of be curious and ask people what their thoughts are, what their experiences were. That's what the mothership is all about. So I'm walking around, and sure enough, there's Travis Walton and Fire in the Sky. He's got his book out, and I had a chance to talk to him. I'm always a little timid, you know, meeting experiencers or approaching them, knowing what they've gone through, especially Travis Walton, knowing what he went through. I mean, it's documented. It's a movie. It's, you know, it's one of the most famous abduction cases on this planet, you know, what he went through. So for me, it's, you know, I kind of feel a little bit of walking on eggshells. How light can you be with the conversation with him? Is he, what kind of questions is he really open to without maybe pushing it too far, if you will? So it was a little bit of a balance, if you will, to ask him questions. But as I approached him, he was already in conversation with someone else. And I looked down the table, and there's all this artwork on the table depicting Travis's experience. And I'm just kind of standing there looking at it, and there's a guy sitting there, and he's wearing a Judas Priest Firepower shirt, okay? So Judas Priest has a new album. It's called Firepower. He's wearing a Judas Priest shirt. I'm wearing my Disturbed shirt that I saw them in concert. So he looks at me. He goes, "Oh, do you like Judas Priest?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course I do." He's like, "Oh, well, I was the artist for their Firepower album." I'm like, "Get out of here." He's like, "Yeah, and I also do the work for Travis Walton." So we'll hear from Claudio first. Claudio Bergman is his name, Bergiman. Amazing artwork and something that is just so, like, specifically detailed. It's incredible stuff, and I can see why he's working with Travis Walton. But we're going to listen to Claudio talk about how he got involved working with Travis Walton and his experiences.
Well, I did the first one, the first illustration on my own, just based on his accounts and his speaking conferences and what I've seen in documentaries. So I kind of took notes and tried to do a accurate rendition of his experience, because I've seen some art. The art Mike Rogers did for him for his book. Mike was his mate on the logging crew. Okay. That they were coming back from the woods that day.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
right,
Mike
right.
was the one driving the truck.
Right, okay.
All right, so he did some of the illustrations in his book. But I've never seen an illustration that showed the whole scene, the truck, the craft, and the whole clearance in the woods. I wanted to see, you know, a cinematic vision of that moment. So I did that just for me, just in my spare time between heavy metal covers. And a friend of Travis saw it on Facebook and sent it forwarded to Travis. And Travis just flipped out and said, "Wow, that's amazing. That's the best illustration I've seen." And he reached out to me and said, "Hey, can you do more?"
Right.
So that was the beginning of it.
That's great. I mean, you know, being, doing album art compared to doing something like this, which is very, it has to be very specific. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're doing a truthful story. You know, you're drawing something that actually happened.
That's what I'm about. I mean, I'm a nerd for documentaries and books. So I try to be as accurate as possible. If I can get firsthand information from the people actually involved in the cases, that's even better. Sometimes I can, sometimes it's not possible, because some people are elusive and they try to be careful who they speak to, you know. But most of the times they're all willing to talk and give details and, you know, and try to get as much information as possible. Like, for instance, with Bob Gimlin of the Patterson-Gimlin film.
Right.
I got all the information from him.
Okay, so now you're getting people reaching out to you, telling you their experience.
I'm usually reaching out to them if I'm interested in doing the artwork.
Okay.
You know, and if it's the other way around, it's because they need it for a cover or for a poster, you know, and wants to commission a piece.
Yeah, some really cool stuff this guy drew, and I encourage you to look him up online. Again, Claudio Bergman, Bergiman. And again, I mentioned he did the artwork for Judas Priest's Firepower album. And, well, I asked him about that, but I'm not going to play that here. If you want to hear that, you got to find me online for that. So I'll post it on the Mothership Radio Show. You'll see it. And you'll hear it, I should say. Not really see it, but you know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, it's time to talk to Travis Walton. Now, I didn't have a long time with him. You know, he's at his booth, and I just don't want to sit there for an hour talking to him, of course. So I kind of ambushed the interview to a certain degree so they can ask you a few questions. He was very open and very cool with it as well. He remembered me from a couple years ago over at the Fountain Hills UFO Congress. So that was really cool. So after the interview with Claudio Bergamon, I had mentioned some things about the artwork, like the eyes depicted by the aliens and how human-like they were, you know, not just the big, you know, black shades over their almond-shaped eyes. You know, these were kind of like pupils and everything. It was interesting how, and really large as well. So Travis kind of jumped in on that and we were kind of chatting a little bit. I did have my microphone on. It just wasn't close to anyone's mouth, but I kind of enhanced the audio. So we caught Travis and Claudio and myself discussing the eyes that were described as the aliens that abducted Travis Walton.
Every animal on the face of the earth that has huge eyes like that is either nocturnal, lives in a deep cave.
That's a great point.
And, you know, so their eyes are used to dim lights. They're big because they're gathering in lots of light. So to come into our level of light, they're going to need protection.
Right. But there's always reports like that they... You enter a large room, it's bright white. You know, you've heard of that before. So obviously maybe different aliens or different...
Yeah, it could be. I think there's probably several different, you know, could be many different species that are all lumped into this category grays. And they might come from completely different star systems, not even be related at all.
Right.
Just happen to look alike.
Right.
And it's not such a big coincidence because we've got animals right here on the earth that look a whole lot like other animals, and they're not related. They just happen to live in a very similar environment. Prime example, American flying squirrel and the Australian sugar glider, which is actually a marsupial. They're so far removed genetically, going way back jillions of years, and yet same huge eyes, same this big flap of skin between the front and back legs so they can glide between trees. The large eyes because they're nocturnal. And they look alike because they live alike.
Right.
You know, so, you know, the idea that there would be species that are quote-unquote grays that aren't related, not surprising to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Since we were talking art with Claudio, I did ask Travis what he thought about seeing himself depicted in other people's artwork.
Well, you know, I appreciate the more accurate the depiction is. That's good. I've seen a few that are caricatures, you know, not deliberately trying to cartoonify things, but just it's an artistic style. But, you know, it's just comes with the territory, you know.
Does it bring back memories or is it kind of... For you, is it just like, oh, that is what happened, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, the memories don't need to be brought back because I can't escape them in the first place, you know? It's always there, and, you know, that expression, you can run, but you can't hide. I tried to just get away from it, go back, normal, live a normal life. Went to work at the paper mill, Steelworkers Union, and I just couldn't leave it alone because, you know, there was one thing that really provoked me is some guy comes out online and he's going to explain everything, easily refuted if I don't say anything, he gets away with it. So
I wanted to talk about his book, Fire in the Sky, The Walton Experience, and he told me there was other evidence that they're compiling and it seems to be never ending.
There's been new discoveries related to the accelerated tree growth near where the craft came down. The discovery through the Freedom of Information Act, the FBI file, in regard to certain people in the case. Lots of new discoveries, you know, medical follow-ups. It's new information, so, you know, I want to get it all in there.
So you think the movie was done when it was done without all this information, obviously not giving it the story justice enough, with the new material, I know you already have another video of the story.
Do we see another movie coming down the road with more detail?
Definitely, yes. And, you know, I've been approached by a number of producers, but haven't settled on anyone yet. But it's definitely needs to be done. I'm leaning more nowadays towards the idea of doing a miniseries in order to get all of this new material included.
And finally, I got a chance to talk to him about something I overheard him mention to someone else. And he was talking about cults. Yeah, like cults were trying to recruit him. So of course, I had to ask him about that.
Well, I haven't really spoken publicly very much about that, but I was approached by a number of rather extraordinary cults that made the news, and but I declined. I didn't give in to the enticements.
Interesting. How did they find you? Was it in person or was it?
Well, back in those days, we didn't do email. I actually got snail mail, paper letters in an envelope coming. My mailbox was so full, it wouldn't hold it all, you know, and bring it home in a sack. So that's how it came to me back in those days.
So it's easy to avoid them.
Yeah, just don't answer.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, nobody's home.
That's right.
All right, thank you, Travis. I appreciate it. I want to thank Travis Walton for being accommodating at the 2019 Alien Con in Los Angeles. So that was really cool of him to do so. So I totally appreciate that. Sometimes you wish you had more time, but other times you're just glad you get a few words in there. Let's play some music. We'll come back. How about that? And I have another interview coming up from the narrator of Ancient Aliens. He'll be joining us on the program. Ryan Sprague as well is coming up. We'll hear from him, from us, from his podcast, SomewhereInTheSkies.com. You can listen to that when you can, but do that on your own time. We got music to play here, and I think we're going to go with, well, I mentioned Judas Priest, so yeah, I'm going to play a Judas Priest song, man. I just saw him a couple days ago, which is the irony of it all, right? It all comes full circle. They were just here in L.A. I went and saw that show, and I have a review of that, but I won't do that on this program. But this song is called Starbreaker. It's Judas Priest. It's Strange and Unusual on the Mothership Radio Show. Judas Priest here on the Mothership Radio Show. I just love saying that. That's me being a rock and roll DJ right there. Starbreaker is the tune. They played that when I saw them a couple nights ago. And a pretty cool show. Rob Halford, man, he's got that operatic voice and just continues to have it at his age. He's an incredible singer. All right, enough about that. We do digress into metal once in a while, but now we got to get back into the conversation about UFOs and aliens, and we're going to do it with a familiar voice to the show. Ryan Sprague is his name, and he does the podcast Somewhere in the Skies, where you can find it online at somewhereintheskies.com. And he was cool enough to give me a few minutes to talk about the current state of affairs of the UFO world and also the open-mindedness of people and how we need to kind of get in that direction and not snub people who bring up the topic of UFOs.
When you meet people out back east and maybe you tell them what you do, is you get some kind of friction?
You get a little side glance every now and again, or people are maybe a little on guard when I tell them I'm a UFO researcher or a ufologist, quote unquote. They're like, what? What is this? You come out here and say that? And they're like, cool. Yeah, tell me more. So, yeah, it's just, you know, different vibes for different people.
But it's the point of everyone needs to know about this, right? I mean, everyone should be aware of this. They're so reluctant to accept maybe that this is a reality that it might shatter their reality.
Absolutely. I think a lot of the suppression of people being interested in the UFO topic is a fear of not wanting there to be others out there. No matter how broad or specific you get with that, we fear what we don't know, and that scares a lot of people. So, you know, when you come to something like Alien Con and you see aliens everywhere and people talking about UFOs, clearly these are the people who are open-minded and willing to learn and to just not accept the reality that they were given.
All right, so when people watch movies, the majority of the alien movies are the aliens are coming to get us. So that's what they experience, and that's how they frame their reality with aliens, is that it's negative, it's going to be bad, so they don't want to know about that. So, but flip that around, you know, why can't it be that they're here to protect us, they're here to save us, they're here to help us, as opposed to they're to kill us? Because I think if they were going to kill us, they would have done so a long time ago.
I think you're right. We always say any advanced civilization other than us that's out there is probably a lot older, a lot wiser, a lot more enlightened, that they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't be malevolent. They wouldn't be coming here to destroy us or deplete us of our resources. They probably would be a lot more understanding and cooperative and open. So yeah, I mean, Hollywood always frames these things as they're evil, we gotta destroy them. And that's kind of puts a mirror back on us. You know, we always think we're at the top. We need to have the most territory. But if another comes and threatens that, you know we're going to destroy them.
Right.
Yeah, so it's an interesting little sociological concept.
Right, maybe we can convince them. They're just here for our babies and organs. That's it.
That's it. You could take my, my appendix. I don't need that. Maybe that's essential for them. Right. I don't know.
I'll ask you one more question. The latest revelations of the government coming out and acknowledging that UFOs are being researched, I'm not saying they are coming out and saying that they're real. I don't think they have. I think they're saying that they're researching them. Is that...
You're on the right track. In my opinion, the way I took it as they are admitting UFOs exist, which is a big thing for the government or the military to say. But when you really think about it, of course UFOs exist. We all know that. There's things people cannot explain in our skies. So I agree that it's not so much the government disclosing the truth to us that UFOs are real, and we don't know what they are, why they're here, who's piloting them or controlling them, but it's a step, and I think it's a really good step, because this stuff's bigger than ever. We are living in a new UFO wave, and I'm just ready to ride that for as long as I can.
Well, hopefully the material will keep getting released. You know, the slow drips that we've been getting could be accelerating. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you're seeing new articles in mainstream media every week now. The Navy, now they're, you know, have a new protocol to report UFOs. You have more military people coming forward saying, I had an experience. And then you come to things like this, AlienCon, and there's thousands of people here, like, talking about UFOs and aliens. It's a dream come true for us, but it's also a new paradigm reality I think we're creating is... people are now accepting this thing, no matter what it might be.
And the majority, I mean, the more that people accept it, the more information I think will be released, right? Is that how it would flow in a sense?
I think so. You know, maybe it takes enough people to the public to be like, we're ready, tell us what you know, for the government to disclose it. I don't think they ever are going to. So for me, man, personal disclosures mean everything.
It's going to have to take something big for that to happen.
Yeah.
Our president said recently that he doesn't believe in UFOs. So I don't know if that's going to be happening anytime soon.
That doesn't surprise me. That was sort of the response I would expect from our current commander-in-chief. I won't get into politics, but, you know, the real concern with that is I don't think any presidents really know what was going on. Maybe some had some hints, but you got to think, like, people like Trump, people like Obama, every president is temporary. They're there for 8 years at most. Why would they give them this civilization-shaking, changing information and expect them to never talk about it after they leave office? So for me, I don't think any president really knows what was going on. Some might know a little more than others, but I don't think anyone knows what the hell we're dealing with when it comes to UFOs.
Well, they say, I think Eisenhower was taken to visit them, but that was a long time ago too, and that was the beginning of the whole UFO craze.
Yeah.
So maybe they did button it up a little bit since then. And you're right, I believe you. I believe what you're saying is that why would they give these guys that much information if they're only in office for 4 to 8 years?
That's a good point. And it's all about perception, too. I don't think our military or government truly know what they're dealing with when it comes to UFOs, but they can control the information that gets out to the public.
Right.
And I think that's the part that we have to really look at and be like, we need to do our own homework. We can't accept everything they tell you at face value, and we got to keep digging. And that's what we're doing here.
Right on, man. Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan Sprague, somewhereintheskies.com, Somewhere in the Skies podcast. Once again, thanks to Ryan Sprague for joining us here on the Mothership Radio Show. We got one more segment to come back with, and that is with the narrator of Ancient Aliens. What did I ask him? What was so important on my mind that I'm like, you know what? I don't care what I get from this guy. It's got to be this answer only. That's coming up next here on The Strange and Unusual, the Mothership Radio Show. The
There's nothing wrong with a little butthole surfers here on The Strange and Unusual, the Mothership Radio Show. And the tune is called The Weird Revolution. Maybe that's what needs to be done. The Weird Revolution. Everyone get involved in UFOs and aliens, man. All right, we're going to wrap it up here with the final interview from the Alien Con convention at the Los Angeles Convention Center, 2019. And this guy, his name is Robert Clotworthy. You might not know the name, but you know the voice.
Could it be that we may be wrong about the composition of our own Earth? Some ancient astronaut theorists say yes.
Yes, the narrator of Ancient Aliens, and my eyes lit up. I had a big smile on my face. I'm like, I got to talk to this guy. I got to ask him this question and only this question, but I asked him a couple questions. So the first one I asked him, well, that one is about
being the narrator of the show. Do you ever like read something and then all of a sudden you're like, you have to stop yourself from reading and going, what am I reading here?
Well, I'll tell you what I do. When I get the script, I don't get the script in advance. So it's given to me that day when I arrive at the studio. So when I look at something, I'll read it through one time just to get the words out. And the answer is sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I want to know a little bit more about what it is I'm talking about. Or maybe it's a little bit surprising, a little bit shocking. And I try to allow that natural reaction that I have to influence how I approach that particular part of the script.
Right. Yeah. So is anything ever, like, as far as your own personal experiences, do you have any as far as seeing anything or maybe?
Well, I look at myself as the audience. That's kind of my job, is not to be a preacher that's telling you what the information is. I'm more the voice of the producer, and his attitude is that he's agnostic, but he's willing to listen to the information. So I have to kind of take my own personal beliefs off to the side and go with what he's going with. And so as an audience member, we're all seeking the answers. We're all looking for the truth. So when I ask those questions of, is it possible or could it be? Yeah, that's coming from a truthful place for me, because I want to know too. I'm just like everybody else that's watching the show. I don't know what the answers are. I don't know what's around the next corner. I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. I may think I know. I may believe I have a pretty good guess, but it's not certain. So I'm willing and open to have the information. I'm interested. I want to find the answers just like you and everybody else.
That's all we watch the show for, is like, give me something I can chew on here.
Well, so we give you a lot of stuff to chew on, a lot of information to chew on.
So I know he was busy. He's at his booth. I didn't want to waste too much time. But, of course, I had to ask him this.
Do all ancient alien theorists agree?
Well, you know, it's funny because I was having lunch with a handful of them, and I was asking them that. I said, is it kind of like the Supreme Court? Is it like a 5-4 decision that we're going to say yes, or 5-4 decision we're going to say no? So I have no idea. And they don't all agree at the same time. Sometimes there is legitimate disagreements. If you go to some of the panels, you'll see them butting heads about certain issues, which is, I think, exciting, because we're not all in lockstep on all the information.
It's almost going to be like a dentist stat. 4 out of 5 ancient alien theorists agree. Maybe that's how they have to do it. But that was a really cool little insight to the Ancient Aliens TV show as we wrap it up here on the Mothership Radio Show. All right, well, before I actually close out, I got an email from the Alien Con on my experiences there. And I got to say this before I close out. It was cool. I didn't get to see any of the speeches because the price difference of getting in the door to seeing the speeches was incredible. It was a lot of money. And the money I had to pay just to walk around the vendors' booths was a lot of money. So it wasn't sold out. I think sometimes you bite more off than you can chew. It was a big venue, perhaps maybe a smaller venue, so you do sell out. Last year in Pasadena, it sold out. Maybe they thought they could pull off a bigger venue. I don't know. But I'd rather see a smaller venue that's packed than a big venue that's kind of shows that you're not packed. How about that? It was a great experience. It was a great time. Saw Dale Hendrickson. You know, he's a character designer for The Simpsons. He's been on the Mothership Radio Show. If you want to hear that, well, you can find that online at themothershipradioshow.com. It's on all your podcast platforms as well. And you could check that out on your own time. But it was really great seeing him doing his artwork. And he was offering, you know, your head inside the casing, as in, remember Futurama, where they had the heads alive? Well, he would draw your head in a casing like that. So that was really cool. People getting their caricatures done there at the Alien Con with Dale Hendrickson. So great time. I enjoyed it. A little pricey, but hey, you know, that's what it is. And again, maybe suggest a smaller venue so it's packed, and maybe not so much money to get in to see the speakers. How about that, huh? Or maybe like a smaller version of the speakers, maybe like the kids' table, if you will, for a cheaper price. I don't know. Either way, I'm throwing stuff out there that sticks. If it does, great. If it doesn't, no big deal. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. We have a lot of interviews coming up soon, booking great names and great people to talk about their stories. One of them will be Bill Watson. He's a producer and of reality shows, no less. And he did a play out here in Los Angeles called Plan P from Outer Space. It is based on the movie Plan 9 from Outer Space. So basically, it was a screening of Plan 9 from Outer Space, Ed Wood, and it was guided by puppets. So the puppets were characters in the movie talking about their experiences making the movie. And they would kind of jab back and forth. It was fun, and it was different, and he's going to have another one in another month, and it's going to be a different movie, but we're going to talk to Bill Watson coming up soon, and he has a cool story about the Denver airport and NORAD, so we'll get some insight on those coming up on a future show. So stay tuned to the program by following us on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter, just the Mothership Radio Show, pretty easy to find, and I appreciate you spending your time with me here. So go get lost in another dimension. But don't go too far, and join me right back here next week for some strange and unusual right here on the Mothership Radio Show.
Thank you, and keep watching the sky.
You'd better pray to the Lord when you see those flying saucers. It may be the coming of the judgment day.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
You suggest that they come from Mars or from other planets, from other solar systems, possibly, throughout the universe. Is that correct?
Yes, and there are a lot of scientists who said the same thing.
What is your theory as to the kind of people who fly these, or the kind of beings who fly these saucers?
Well, that's speculation. Willie Ley said recently they'd be just like the man next door, the invaders from space, and his reasons may be good. But most of the top scientists have said that the odds are that beings from other worlds would not be like us. Some of them would be. Dr. Harlow Shapley, for instance, said that there probably were at least 100 million inhabited planets in the universe. And Menzel, who doesn't believe in saucers at all, says that he goes that high or even higher. And among those, by the law of averages, a certain number of planets that would be like the Earth. Mm-hmm. And if evolution started at the same time, why, you might have the same type of being.
What do you think are the intentions of these people, for lack of a better name, of these people on who are in these flying saucers?
Well, there's been no evidence of any hostility. During the last 10 years, what we call the modern phase, there have been sightings before then. There have been some accidents, Air Force pilots chasing these things. Captain Mantell was killed chasing one in 48, and two pilots disappeared chasing one in 53 over Lake Superior. But I think those were just accidents.